All right, Cole, what are you doing this time?
Gary, take a look at this. I have a full painted frame created by William Roger Dean.
Ooh.
I know, right? He's one of my favorite artists. He did all the like the Yes album covers, you know, for mm-hmm. Yes in Asia. Like he's just like, look at that. You see the naked astronaut floating with an umbilical cord of rocket smoke tied to mountains that have rings around them like Saturn.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah. It's very pretty. It looks like the best fucking pinball table.
Yeah. So I'm just going to walk this over to hang it up above the mantel. Whoa! Oh, Gary, I dropped it. It's in the fire. No.
Oh, no.
Oh, I don't want to see how much I paid for that. Oh, this is terrible. I got insurance, though. But what is, Gary, what is that?
good detail to throw in there.
No. Like, I don't want
so
people
just worried.
Yep.
About this.
Yeah.
Obvious real thing that you lost.
Yeah, it was one of the it's a one of a kind. He commissioned it. The rings around the mountains, Gary.
Okay. Yeah. But anywho.
Yeah, but no, there's something in the flames. What is this?
Is there a fire gate?
No.
Like, I want your house to get on fire. How's your flu? Your flu, man. Is it clean?
The flu is loose.
The loose.
Yep. But no, there. Okay, but in, here in the ashes, there's a Sega Genesis cartridge. It's for Ooh. Shadow of the Beast.
Huh. No.
Nope.
This is Gary Butterfield.
This is Cole Ross.
And this is Abject Suffering.
A very pragmatic and responsible podcast.
Yeah. Like, oh, no. our items. Our possessions. And this is we're playing bad games, so you don't have to.
Mm-hmm. Then we talk about them and goof and stuff.
Yeah. And this is Shadow of the Beast for the Sega Genesis.
Mm-hmm.
Which I didn't know anything about.
Neither did I. No.
It is, it's interesting though, looking into it.
Mm-hmm.
Like it is, one, you know, it has this feel of like an old PC game, mm-hmm. and it is.
Yeah.
Two, the reason why this game is this weird legendary reputation for being super difficult because it was miscoded to run on PAL systems.
Yeah.
So it runs faster than it should
mm-hmm.
in the United States.
Yeah. So it was coded for PAL systems, which run at 50 frames per second on the refresh rate there. They brought it over here. These run at 60 frames, but they didn't adjust for that. And so it is 16 or so percent faster than it otherwise would be. So, but Gary, I don't know that that would actually help things.
No, I don't know. I mean, it'd still be a bland ass, like PC ass, you know, shit platformer. But there's not like, it's not like there's nothing cool to this game though.
Mm-hmm.
Like it is like the wide variety of things you fight and how crazy and weird looking they are is pretty neat.
Yeah, visually this is an amazing game.
Yeah, it looks really cool.
Yeah.
You know, and the soundtrack's pretty good too.
Mm-hmm.
Like I thought the music for Genesis music is, you know, not too farty and mm-hmm. just farty enough. just a proper number of farts.
You want just a soupçon of fart.
Yeah, I just want someone to crop dust a layer on top of it, and that's what happened here. Like, farts weren't needed? No, yeah. Farts would not.
I want the hallway after lunch level of farts.
Yes.
Yes.
Not the bathroom after lunch or a private office after lunch.
Right. Yeah. I want it to be a thoroughfare. I want at least a quarter of the people who walk through this hallway to have been farting.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I can't finish this game because it's incredibly difficult.
Because you need to listen to those farts to drive you through.
This was recommended by three people, a whopping three people, Gary.
That's this is kind of a weird legendary game that I mm-hmm. just never heard of, but yeah.
Sam Baer, Holland Hume, and Christian Bates.
No, like two of which are kind of all-stars. Christian Bates, I don't know if he's gotten on the show before.
Yeah, he's a stalwart though on other shows. So thank you, Christian.
Yeah, thanks everybody. Mm-hmm. It's kind of weird that I hadn't played this, I feel like.
Yeah.
Because I had a cousin who had a Genesis and had like a lot of the EA library. I feel like I played a lot of them. I went through like when I first got ROMs and did my like, I'm just going to play a little bit of everything mm-hmm. phase. Never got Shadow of the Beast.
Yeah. neither did I. Like, this is my first exposure to it. And, man, the thing that sticks out to me most about this as, like, a success is the graphics.
Yeah.
Like, this is visually, like, a very pleasing game. Like, not so much, you know, for the character design. Like, the character design looks like an extra from a GWAR show mixed with an H.R. Giger creation. Yeah. A little bit. Like, he doesn't speak to me, although apparently he has kind of a crazy backstory. You know, the beast and whatnot. But everything else, like if you walk right far enough, you have to fight your way through an ice storm.
Yeah, that ice storm is great.
Yep.
Like, and literally, like, I feel like I ran into like 10 different kinds of monsters. Mm-hmm. Just going to my right, like some of which are just variations, but if you consider like ice storms and claws coming from the ground monsters, like there's just such a ridiculous wide array of designed things.
At least like three different kinds of claws.
Yeah, pretty cool. Mm-hmm. It's done originally by Psygnosis.
Yes, published by Psygnosis.
Yeah, and then an EA for the Genesis.
Oh, weird. So it was developed by Reflections, which is currently an Ubisoft studio. That most recently has been working on Tom Clancy's The Division, that new PS4 kind of like MMO, action MMO. They did Watch Dogs. They did Far Cry 3. They did Driver San Francisco. They've done a bunch of good stuff.
Huh.
Which is weird. Like, you're in the recent, or at least passable stuff, right? Like, it's Ubisoft-ass Ubisoft stuff, but...
Yeah, they're making the Ubisoft game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the house style of Ubisoft.
Yeah.
This is so far away from that, like, it is strange to see the DNA. Mm-hmm. Like, if there's any of it. Yeah. The first thing that like pops up in this game where the well, like, is there anything you can do in that? Do you just go down it and then realize you can't continue and go back up?
If you go down it, you get like this nice detailed picture, like it's almost like an adventure game saying, oh, you approach the rusty ladder. You get to the bottom of nothing. But when you come up, it says, perhaps if you had a key, you would be able to go further.
Okay. Yeah. I think I accidentally skipped past that second bit of dialogue because I was just like, there's nothing at the bottom of the well. I guess I'll go to the right. No, oh, shit.
You know? So going to the right was the wrong instinct because you actually have to go left first in order to go to the treehouse to get the key and then fight a fucking metal skull sled.
Man, I didn't get to the skull sled.
Yeah.
That's rad.
Yeah, it's like you're inside like an Ewok village. It's crazy.
Man, that's nuts. I want to watch somebody who's really good at this and play through the whole thing on YouTube.
Mm-hmm. Like, just I bet to see the assets, man.
Yeah, and just hear the music and stuff. It'd be pretty neat. Like, this game is not... It's the best game we're recording about today.
Yeah.
But where this is a real bad batch. So, yeah. So just take that into account.
We're grading on a curve here.
Yeah. So we record these three at a time, and that's a roughie.
Mm-hmm.
That's a roughie.
It's a living.
Yeah, it's a living.
Yeah. The reason why I say that the speed wouldn't make this any easier, like, even if they slowed it down, is because you're so kind of impotent. With any kind of attack, right? Your punch just kind of like goes out, and if you hold it down, you just hold your fist out like you're waiting for somebody to run into it.
Walk into it.
Which only happens in, you know, excuses that bullies make for how that guy got punched. You just ran into my fist, Teach.
Yeah, you have to time it perfectly if you're going to hit one of these guys with your tiny fist.
Yeah.
And you don't have any continues, and you just have one life.
Right.
So if you fuck it up, you fuck it up, and that's it.
Yeah, and your jump isn't super high. Like, most of the stuff that I assume they were expecting to have you jump over, it is, you know, more than one beast width, or more than one beast height high.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And sometimes shit comes from behind, they have to duck.
Mm-hmm.
Also difficult.
Yeah.
It's a challenging game.
But sometimes there's a blimp in the sky, and I love that background
detail.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, the parallax scrolling on the background is off the chain. Like,
yeah. It looks foreground, really, really good. Too. Like,
yeah.
There are like 12 levels of parallax, I think I read, something like that.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy. Mm-hmm. That's pretty serious.
Yeah. And the reason this looks so good is because it was inspired by, and the cover art was done by, Roger Dean.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Of the Perchance to Dean episode of the Venture Brothers.
Yep. And also the painting of mine that was destroyed. Don't worry, there was insurance.
Yeah, no, it's fine.
It's fine. You know,
yeah, it's fine.
You know,
in fact, I'm going to make a stretch and say that everything that's fictional cannot be destroyed. So in a weird way, like Batman, your painting will never die. Like, you can't punch it. You can't shoot it.
Yeah.
You can't set it on fire.
I mean, you can try. Like, I can imagine all those situations.
Oh, sure. But then if at least one listener remembers your painting as it was.
Yes. As I described it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This was apparently really successful because there were two sequels.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you could see like it was a weird prestige PC thing. Mm-hmm. You know, I could see like originally an Amiga game. Like I can see that just like being very successful because of that, regardless of whether it's actually like a very good game.
Mm-hmm. This was 35 pounds, I think, when it first came out, which was really, really expensive for games at the time. Mm-hmm. And this is all Wikipedia, so I'm sorry, folks. But it came with a T-shirt to offset that, to sweeten the pot.
Yeah, and I bet you it's a badass T-shirt.
Yeah, I'm pretty
sure. I don't know if I'd wear it, but I bet you it's kind of cool. They're also remaking this now for the PS4.
Yeah, that's crazy, right?
Which screams Euro in a way that I'm sure is true. Like, this is probably a game that meant more to our European listeners than it does us,
mm-hmm.
Based possibly just on being on an obscure 80s computer.
Just anything with Psygnosis, I'm finding, is that is the Euro label.
If you look at the on GameFAQs, like the games you may like, because you're looking at this, is like this rogues gallery of weirdo, you know, Electronic Arts, Genesis, PC ports, including our very own James Pond 2, but also Fatal Rewind, Blades of Vengeance, Dark Castle, and Rollo to the Rescue, which is the one weird outlier that is one of the ugliest covers I've ever seen in my life. It's this elephant that's got like soul trunk. And he looks like carnival art.
He does.
And he's named after a bad candy.
That's the caramel with the shitty chocolate around it?
Yeah, shitty chocolate, shitty caramel in like a shitty tube.
Yep, individually wrapped. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know a Rollo. And, I know a Rollo well.
What is Rollo going to rescue you from? Nothing.
Hunger and a pinch when it's all that's left at the gas station?
Like I accidentally drank the salt water. Like Rollo to the Rescue to get that taste out of my mouth.
Hey, salted caramel. People pay a lot of money for that.
That's true. Salted caramel's good.
I'm over it.
Oh, yeah? It still tastes good. Like, I mean, you could be over it because you're sick of seeing it, but like, yeah. So you get like a salted caramel brownie or something like that. It probably tastes pretty good.
Not really. I liked it for the novelty at first, but I would rather get just like a plain dark chocolate thing.
Huh.
Yeah. That's my, that's me, though.
Dear, are you not like a chocolate-covered pretzel man?
Not really, no.
Huh.
I don't like.
I'm learning so much about.
I know, right? You're learning so much about
you
my.
Don't like salt.
Yeah, my complicated relationship with flavor profiles.
Yeah,
I like salt just fine. I just don't like it being mixed with sweet stuff.
Myself, I prefer my salt plain. Thank you. Yeah.
Just one bowl of salt, please.
Yeah, I don't want to. I don't want to sully this up with something for it to season.
I'm gonna die real soon.
Yeah. 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 I prefer caramel in salt.
Ooh.
Like, just throw a little bit of caramelized sugar on top of that salt bowl.
Yeah, Salger.
Salger.
But there's one fact for this that I kind of go back and forth on, you know, kind of like either liking or disliking, depending on the way that it's written, because like it's overly ostentatious.
Yes.
With it, but it's pretty clear that the guy is kind of young. It seems. So this is probably something I would have written when I was 16.
Yeah, he might grow into an okay dude.
Yeah.
There's a long about the author section.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, boy. He became a king amongst men and women.
Yeah.
Good job.
You know, as you would. You know,
he loves emails from random strangers, especially if they're familiar with Shadow of the Beast.
As is he, since he wrote the fact on it.
Yeah. We never do this, but like, if we were assholes, we find these old, like, these game facts that are clearly written by, like, young or dumb people, even though this was written in, like, 2006.
Yeah.
So this guy might not be as young as we think.
Right.
You know, because he had been into this game when it came out in, like, 1990.
Mm-hmm.
We could send this guy an email and just be like, hey, do you want to talk about, you know, Shadow of the Beast?
Yeah.
And have some real fun follow-up
He would be about my age, I think. So he was okay. Let's do a little bit of detective work. This is all publicly available information.
Okay, hello, Batman. who's contributing exactly one guide and one file, which is this?
Well, he was a film student at the City of Cambridge. If we assume this was written in 2006 or 2005, if we would assume that he's a freshman, right? Let's give it that. 2006 was the year that I went off to college, so he would be my age or slightly older.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's fair game. Yeah. Like,
but he would have been 18 when he did that. So it's still pretty,
I guess
young.
That's true. If he was a fresh, well, I guess that's true. Mm-hmm. So if he was a freshman then, no, if he was a freshman in 2008, that means he was into this game that came out like when he was born.
Right.
Or like, that seems like it, like somebody growing up and they're just going to write one game fact and it's for like, it'd be like me doing that for like, you know, I don't know, Circus Charlie, you know.
Don't call him a Circus Charlie. He seems perfectly fine.
Like, if I'm going to write a game fact, it's going to be for something that was important to me as a teen.
Mm.
You know? So I'm thinking he was a teen when this came out. I bet you this guy, and he's going, and he's a, oh, he's a film student. For some reason, I had him as a medical student in my head. I'm just really defending this guy. Like, this is a medical doctoral candidate, Cole.
He could save your life one day at ShadowCon.
Yeah.
Like, after you eat that bowl of salt and your heart gives out.
Yeah. Is there a doctor in the house? Hello, Batman. I could see him being older than that. Like, I bet you he's maybe a little bit older than you, just because of him being this into Shadow of the Beast.
Mm.
The first one, too. It's like 1989 is when this came out. Like,
yeah. I suppose. I would like to thank my parents, without whom I wouldn't be possible. Ergo, this FAQ wouldn't exist. You wouldn't be reading it right now. In another time stream in a parallel dimension or reality, I don't exist, and you're doing something else right now. Isn't that scary? The answer is no.
That's a lot of words to get nothing out.
Yep.
He's got a real brevity problem. Mm-hmm. I like the fact, though, because it spends a lot of time in the beginning talking about, like, you know, the history and, you know, trivia and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Of the game, which is kind of, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I like that stuff. Just like there's a whole section like random cool stuff, like what, you know, this is one of those like faux review facts a little bit.
I love game facts when they actually contain facts and it's not just a walkthrough.
Yes,
like just like these are things that you might want to know and interesting things about the game,
and like when they lead with that, like, yeah, lead with the quick reference.
Yep. And it ends up becoming like kind of like a shittier version of like Hardcore Gaming 101.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like that kind of information. Yeah. Which is better than game facts, I dare say.
Oh yes, I mean Hardcore, yeah. Gaming 101, that site that I read for fun.
Yeah, like all the time.
Yeah,
and is constantly being updated and like by hero, selfless heroes.
Mm-hmm. Under the controls, the A button. Good lord, he jumps! Look at him jump! Look at him jump into the air! Good grief, he can jump! Makes your character jump.
Yeah, like yeah, this is a precocious. Yeah, I think that. What we are dealing with, either somebody who is too old for that shit or you know, too young to be like this precocious. Like, he's either going to grow into a really cool dude, mm-hmm. like by now, or he's just gotten more insufferable or defeated.
Yeah,
by now. Like, if he was like 30 when he wrote this, mm-hmm. like right now he's like 40,
mm-hmm.
looking back on this Shadow of the Beast guy that he did and just like, you know, what have I done with my life? Or he's like 35 now. And he's probably like, you know, learned how to delete stuff and is a better writer.
Gary, this fact has led me to believe that there is a jetpack level in this game.
What? Oh, man, I'm going to watch a playthrough of this tonight before bed.
Good luck sleeping. It's real spooky.
Yeah. Just scare the shit out of me. A lot of people are saying that, like, it is scary. Mm-hmm. Like, some of the reviews are just like, this is scary. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, that's not really what scary means.
I mean, it's bizarre. It's otherworldly. It's, you know, I would even say, you know, perchance unsettling.
Yeah, maybe.
Like, yeah.
It's hard for a 16-bit game to be scary.
Yeah.
Like,
if it's not Clock Tower, yeah.
Yeah, I was just about to say, it's like Clock Tower, you know. And then you can make something kind of like unnerving, but that's really it. Like, Eversion is kind of unnerving, mm-hmm. without being actually scary.
I would say like Life Force.
Yeah,
Life Force
feels weird in a way, mm-hmm. you know, but it has that like kick and music and stuff that kind of counteracts it and pumps you up.
Life Force is a good game.
Yeah, Life Force is really good. Someday for Watch Out Fireballs, we could do a shooter episode. Mm-hmm. I don't think we could actually do like just a shooter, but we could do two of them.
Yeah, we could do like Life Force and Ikaruga or something like that.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Like a vertical and a horizontal. It's a good idea.
Both of those are, I'm going to make a note of that.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
I like Life Force more than I like Ikaruga. I like Ikaruga, but it is too hard for me.
Yeah,
because I'm bad at those games.
Me too.
Yeah, they're one of the easiest games to make. When I took like my game maker class in community college when I first moved out here, we had to make one. It was one of our earliest assignments. I did this. I used all the assets from Final Fantasy IV, the airship assets.
Oh yeah,
and had Sid like freaking out when he goes to sleep. Like it'd start. with him, like, you walk into a bed and you go to sleep, and then you're in the shooter game, and it starts off as, like, you know, evil airships, and then becomes chocobos, and then just becomes Rosas. All the assets you fight, until the end you fight a giant Rosa. and then that was the game.
Gary, you know that you have to, like, make that available.
I would love to make all my Game Maker shit available, but no, I can't get any of it to run.
Oh,
I kind of want to test it again, but you can't. Yeah. I can't find things that are made in Game Maker, like with old Windows, don't run on new Windows.
Oh, man.
Because I'm sure I've told you about this, but I did help Martin Page get to the House of Stone and Light, which is, I think, one of the funniest things I've ever done. And it is locked behind versions.
I played that back when it was contemporaneous.
Yeah.
Gary, send me the files, because I have a machine that has Windows XP.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah.
Will do.
Yeah, I'll see if there's anything I can do to, like, upversion it.
Yeah, and I'll throw a help Martin Page get to the House of Stone Light on TV.
Because I remember playing that back around the time you released that DIV episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty funny.
Yeah.
We'll see. There's a, you know, there's every single button on the keyboard reveals a new fact about Martin Page.
Yeah.
Like, it has literally every button, so.
You had music from House of Stone and Light.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
and the bosses are Peter Gabriel, who throws sledgehammers, and Toad the Wet Sprocket, who's Toad from Mario 2.
Isn't Martin Page, he, like, settled down to become a substitute teacher or something like that?
No, he's still very active. I follow him on Facebook, and he shares the fucking, man, that guy is amazing. Like, he shares the lamest shit. Like, his like, he publishes his thank yous, he publishes fan mail. When people say it, which you shouldn't do. But then he, like, publishes his thank yous and answers to their questions. And he is just, like, such a parody of this, like, new agey soft rock guy, which is what he is. You know, this, like, very heavily spiritual without being a religious soft rock guy.
Right.
But some of the shit that he shares, like, I recommend everybody, let's give him the old abject suffering bump. I recommend everybody on Facebook and follow Martin Page. He also, in the 80s, he was in a new wave band called Q Feel, who did this really, really catchy song called Dancing in Heaven, which is, like, super, super good, but it's weird. It's Martin Page, the same guy who did House of Stone and Light. So,
huh.
Yeah. Man, I got to get Brayton, like, we're really ahead on Teenage Dirtbags, so I got to get Brayton to do some Martin Page for that, because I'll tell some Page facts. I did some research on that guy.
Well, yeah, so. You had to make one for every key on the keyboard.
Yeah, and question mark blocks. So, like, that's what those give you as well. So, I'll definitely send you to those. So, that's great.
Yeah. I mean, it's a long shot. I don't know if there's a way to upversion it, but there could be some kind of converter I can use.
Oh, sure. Like, I think that if you just open it up in a new version of Game Maker and save it again, like, that just might do it.
Yeah.
So,
we'll give it a shot. It'd be good if you can tell me what version you made them in, too.
Yeah. I will try. I don't have that computer anymore.
Yeah.
Like that, but I'll do my best.
Cool.
Anywho, so that's some private business between Cole and I. So the trio of Chuckle Fucks who recommended this.
Yeah. So we had Sam Bear, national hero / scourge of abject suffering, Sam Bear, who on the day that we recorded this, I mentioned it on the Facebook page, but I want to make sure that this goes out on the show as well. Over the past 24 hours, he submitted 42 DOS games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which really, like, you know, before Cole and I die, how many of those are we going to get through? Like, who's really suffering here? Right. If you had to go through and play all those, you know.
But he also, like, provided links to thearchive.org and, like, annotations, like, with you know, his impressions of them. It was really good. So I want to say, Sam, thank you.
Yeah, I do appreciate that you putting in the work, and hopefully you appreciate us taking the work and using it to talk about our private plans to digitize things. Anywho, what are we doing next time?
Next time, we're going to be doing The Crow, City of Angels for the PlayStation. Oh, no.
Yeah, this is really rough.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if you want to continue to support our fuckaroundery, you can go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv, facebook.com/abjectsuffering, or duckfeed.tv/tipjar, and use the Amazon referral link.
Definitely. Also, tell your friends, and keep on listening. We're super happy to have you here.
Until next time, what should they do?
They should watch out for ice storms.
Mm-hmm.
Umbasa.
Umbasa.